Yo, what up? This is your boy D Knight, and you're listening to the Pardon the Insurrection podcast. Whew, every single week seems to be completely out of control in terms of the news. It's always going off the rails, and in one way or the other, it seems to be an endless cycle of insanity. But again, like I said, what can you do but try and make a fucking podcast and then maybe have a drink and try to forget about it? But before we get to all of that, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. My man Kylie McIntosh hooked us up with the dopest sheets on planet Earth. I guarantee you're probably going to want to grab you a set. If not, I mean, you know, I guess you can be miserable laying in bed every night pulling your hair out over the state of affairs in our political system. But if that's what you're going to do, at least you can be comfortable at night doing it. So pick you up a set of sheets from sheetsandgiggles.com. Make sure you check the show notes. We got a couple links in there for some discounts, courtesy of your boy. So yeah, last week was bananas. We didn't even have time to get to that insane that insane hearing in an attempt by the Republicans led by James Comer to impeach President Biden that went totally off the rails. That was bonkers. There's a whole highlight reel of insanity that you can probably look up online somewhere. We can't even get to that because, of course, like I said, this never stops. But I think one of the most ironic and if not like hilarious parts of it is like their star witness that the Republicans were calling to somehow implicate Hunter Biden in some kind of criminal scheme was a dude in jail. Like, he literally phoned in from prison. That was iconic. If there's like one stretch of the entire event that summed that up in its entirety, it's the dude phoning in from prison to slander Hunter Biden. Oh, they tried though. And I guess you can't blame them. Like, I imagine after having Trump impeached twice and Trump demanding heads and demanding the Republican Party fall in line to do his dirty work for him, they had to, I don't know, they had to cook up something. They had to concoct some kind of scheme. And this is what you get when you don't actually have any evidence. You get a shit show. Also, like, I thought it was quite ironic that Fox News last week, they were the outlet to break one of the biggest political stories, at least what would have been prior to the Trump administration, one of the biggest political stories of any election year, that a former president, vice president, refused to give him the endorsement, even though he's practically locked up the nomination. Like, how often does that fucking happen? Never. It's never happened, at least not that I'm aware of. Obviously, we haven't had a lot of occasions where a president has lost an election and then is running for re-election. Yet and still, just the fact that it didn't even happen is not only bananas, it should be far bigger news. And while a couple of major media outlets did cover it, guess who didn't cover it? Fox News. Fox News didn't cover that, even though they broke it on their own network. How wild is that? Like, what alternative reality are we living in here? This is absolutely, it's absolutely bonkers. Like, I just, every week, an array of things happen that, like, they force me to kind of take a second to like gather myself and address what it really is that we're experiencing, because every single week there's some new shit that we've never seen before, and we kind of just brush on by it because later in the day there's more new shit we've never seen before. But yeah, it's just absurd. Like, I don't even know what the purpose of, well, of course I know what the purpose of Fox News is. They're a propaganda outlet. They exist only to help the Republican Party win elections, and not very, I guess theoretically, the second item on their agenda is making money. I'm not entirely sure. You know, they at the very least need enough money to exist. I don't know how profitable this venture is at this point, given that they're probably going to get sued again and lose another $750 million. But that's beside the point. So also, I mean, obviously, the Republican Party is in total disarray. You know, I was saying on this other endeavor that I'm involved in that we haven't seen an implosion like this since the Oceangate submarine, which took out a couple of billionaires. So that's probably that's probably going to be a more astute point if you just let me continue on for a moment. So as I'm recording this, we're like 24 hours away from Trump's deadline to post the bond in the $450 million civil fraud case. You know, the one in New York where his companies and him and his kids were adjudicated to be frauds. Yeah, that one. So to get an automatic stay, he's got to put the money up. I think we've covered that a number of times on the podcast. If he doesn't do that, starting Monday morning, which is likely when you'll be listening to this, the New York Attorney General, Tish James, can start freezing his bank accounts and seizing his properties. So over the past week, you know, I guess if you've been watching like the post from Trump's Truth Social account, where he's like going back and forth between claiming he's gotten the $500 million, but also saying how impossible it'll be to come up with the money. You know, he's been like railing nonstop against Tish James seizing his properties. Even his fundraising emails are off the chain. They're like, you know, Trump Tower is mine. And then he's like asking people to donate so he can. So he won't lose his properties. Like, I don't know, like the fundraising emails are just another subsection of Trump insanity, all their own. Yeah, I was saying on Twitter that this dude is the Schrodinger's cat of crime. Like, no matter what he says, whether he's got the money or not, we're going to open that box in court and discover that he's committed yet more fraud. Yeah, if he does somehow manage to come up with the money. The other day, I think it was Thursday, Judge Engoron issued an order that gave extended powers to Barbara Jones, the court appointed monitor, overseeing operations at the Trump org. So if he does come up with the money, and that money comes from any untoward sources, foreign or otherwise, she will have the ability to make that information public, or at least make it available to the court, which I assume means Tish James will likely make it public. And if he doesn't come up with the money, well, she's also been ordered to take account of any attempts by Trump and his cohorts to negotiate with the shorters and bonding companies, and if they haven't made any real attempt to secure the bond in that regard, or if they haven't made any real attempt to meet the obligations set forth by these entities, should be informed of that and also be able to submit that information to the court. So one way or the other, we're going to figure out what the fuck it is Trump's been doing in this regard. Like, I know he kind of got off the hook in the E. Jean Carroll thing because her lawyer, Robbie Kaplan, specifically has, you know, a greater obligation to our client in that case, E. Jean Carroll, than to make sure that like untoward things aren't being done in $100 million bond on Trump's end. You know, Kaplan's there to just make sure Carroll gets paid, right? That's pretty much her job. But in this instance, Letitia James is concerned. Well, you know, and also just like the court itself is making sure that Trump isn't engaging in further fraud. Because like, again, to come up with these massive sums of money, he's going to have to come to these companies with like, hey, like these are our assets. Like, you know, help us get a bond and we'll put up our assets as collateral. Well, to do that, the companies have to know how much the shit is worth. Well, dude just lost a fucking civil suit because he kept lying about the value of his properties, like to the tunes of billions of dollars. So, of course, like if he wants to get some kind of loan against these properties to have the money for liquid capital to use for the bond, or use as collateral for the bond, or even use the properties themselves, like ain't nobody believing this dude. We don't believe you. You need more people. But yeah, I was just saying, cut to a video of Trump down at the golf course there in Florida or Bedminster or wherever the fuck he is, saying the word of the week, foreclosure. Ha ha ha. But yeah, if I were Tish James, right after seizing what little bit of Trump Tower he owns, I would put a padlock on Mar-a-Lago, Bedminster, and Seven Springs, and then invite the FBI to come up there to all those properties and search for any of the classified documents that they didn't get to find the first time around. That's what I would do. Personally, you know, Tish James, ain't got to take no advice from me, but I'm just saying that would be like the first course of action on my part. The other thing I would have in mind is the fact that, like, the Saudis are coming down to live in Florida here next month. And before they have the opportunity to try and line Trump's pockets with potentially tens of millions of dollars, I just go ahead and seize Doral too. I would go ahead and take Trump's golf course down there. And then, like, because again, I would just find it hilarious if Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis. He got his little payout, his little retirement package from his time in office. And then when Trump's supposed to get his payout from the Saudis, it ends up going to the state of New York. That would tickle me. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I would find it quite funny. Also, Eric Trump was melting down on Twitter talking about how impossible it was to secure $500 million bond. Even though the other day Letitia James filed in court, numerous examples of, you know, real companies who do real legitimate business coming up with bonds that are twice the size of what Trump has to come up with this in this case. So it is possible. And again, there's also the, like, they're like, oh, we got to come up with the $500 million all at once. Well, that's not technically true. They could syndicate the bond between a number of different entities to reach the amount of $500 million ish, or however much it is. And specifically, I don't know, the number keeps going up every day, so you gotta bear with me on that. But yeah, they put together $100 million for the E. Jean Carroll bond. They could put together five of the $100 million bonds each, and that would amount to what they need to come up with in the New York civil trial. But, you know, I can't make these dudes get off their asses and go do this work. I mean, they should have been prepared for this. They've known for months that this is a possibility, that they would have to come up with this money, and that they did no preparation at all. Like I've said before, like, that is God tier level of procrastination. God tier. Like, you've never seen anything like this. But anyway, Donald Trump Jr., or Coke Jr., as I like to refer to him, was quite irate in a number of videos as well. He's not happy about the idea that we'll be seeing Tish James Tower in the near future. He's not pleased with that. But yeah, of course, you know, everyone's talking about this massive payout that Trump's about to get from Truth Social. And while it's entirely likely that, yes, his net worth is going to go up should this deal with Digital World Acquisitions come to fruition and the shareholders approve the merger, yeah, it's going to make his net worth go up. But there's a few problems. The main problem for Trump is, first of all, that there's this lockout, there's this lockout clause that prevents him from selling any of the stock for 6 months after the closing of the deal. He won't be able to, he won't be able to sell any shares. He won't be able to take out loans using the shares as collateral, none of that. Also, like, there's this other issue of, like, the stock not being, it's not, the price isn't necessarily representative of the worth of the company. Because if you just look at the revenue the Truth Social is making, and I'll give you a hint here, it's practically losing money every month. Like, a company that's just failing in that regard, there's no way that thing's worth $1 billion, let alone multiple billions of dollars, in the way the stock price is currently sitting. Trump shares will probably be worth $2 to $3 billion by the time this thing launches. It's absolutely absurd. Look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. This thing is, it's a dumpster fire. It's one of those pump and dump schemes where the stock price is being artificially inflated by one of Trump's close, like his billionaire buddies. I won't necessarily say close friends. One of his billionaire buddies, and also a bunch of morons who were like, yeah, it'll be fun to support Trump and make the stock go up to these insane numbers. And just like with the GameStop debacle, like a lot of people are going to lose a shit ton of money in this endeavor. Trump will be lucky to escape this with even the $500 million that he's about to lose in New York. He'd be lucky to eventually come out with that number. Because again, by the time he's ready to try and sell off stock, the fact that he'll have to notify the public in writing that he's aiming to sell off massive amounts of shares, that alone is going to take the stock price. Other people are going to start getting out, pulling their funds, whether that be like the big time investors, or the guys trading the shit on their smartphones. Like, everybody's going to ditch the stock, and that's going to tank the value before he can sell off all of his shares. And that's going to result in him not making any money. But as I brought up, one of Trump's billionaire friends who are propping up the stock price, this guy, Jeffrey Yass, who's also an investor in the ByteDance, the company that controls TikTok, he's like, he is one of the individuals who currently has a massive investment in shares in Digital World Acquisitions, the SPAC, and that's going to be purchasing Truth Social. But we'll get back to that in a second, because, well, obviously, like, Trump's crime spree is incestuous. Like, there's so many people involved that it's really insane how many individuals work in these circles involved in trying to scheme and defraud people and like come out with a massive payday. But earlier this week, we also had another GOP retirement from Congress. That would be Mike Gallagher, the congressman from Rhode Island. He decided to step down, leaving Republicans with the slimmest of House margins in an election year where if they have just one or two defects, they're unable to pass any legislation. And if they have just a couple of more retirements by any chance, we will likely see the first Black Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, your boy. So in a world full of Trump scheme related coincidences, that super conservative Mike Gallagher figure, Tea Party guy, he happens to chair the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. Now, what might that have to do with TikTok? Well, I'll tell you, that committee is most inclined to continue supporting the strangely bipartisan effort to force the sale of TikTok from its Chinese owner, ByteDance, or at least it was right up until Trump reversed his position on that and then started attacking Facebook, TikTok's major competitor. Right after Yass came down there to hang out with your boy Trump, as he's like in dire straits, like in desperate need of hundreds of millions of dollars. What a fucking coincidence. Like, the guy funding the Truth Social merger and propping up the stock price, who also has like a vested interest in the success of TikTok, is meeting with Trump, and then Trump changes his mind on like forcing the sale of TikTok. Huh? Not suspicious at all. You would think, I don't know, James Comer might want to hold a hearing on that, open an investigation of some sort. It's extraordinarily mind numbing, isn't it? Like, you're like, oh, it can't get more insane than that. Well, it can, because the Wile E. Coyote Acme level scheming doesn't end there. because the Republican National Committee is now officially an arm of the Trump campaign. You may or may not have heard Romney stepped down. And since she's made her exit from the RNC, she was replaced by the de facto chairwoman, Laura Trump, who you may know of acclaim from the Trump family and her previous fundraising experience to this point, which, of course, is, you know, very handy for an organization that needs to raise a massive amount of funds for an election in an election year. Her previous experience in that regard is bilking a dog charity and is spending $2 million on Trump properties, you know, because stealing from kids with cancer is too tame for her, I would imagine. But yeah, the new joint fundraising agreement between the Trump campaign and the RNC, it takes a significant cut of the RNC's donations, with the first portion of that going to the Trump campaign, with the next portion going to the Save America PAC, you know, the one that's paying all of Trump's legal bills. Yeah, that thing. And then after that, that's when the RNC gets their share, whatever the fuck is left over after that, which is probably pennies. But, you know, sad for them, I guess. And as an example of that, how that agreement works out in general, like we can take an example from next week where Trump's holding a, you know, a fundraiser in Palm Beach for the rich, wealthy donors, where the Trump campaign is set to receive the first $6,000 of the donations, of each individual's donations, with the next $5,000 going to Save America. That's $11,000 that Trump's skimming off the top there. And then the remainder of that goes to the RNC. So this will be the first time in American history that Republicans will be on the receiving end of their trickle-down economic plan. So they'll obviously be able to attest to its success or its failure. It's actually incredible watching these guys. You know, Trump is supposedly a self-proclaimed billionaire. One of the things he ran on was how he's so rich that, you know, no one can afford to buy him. Like, he won't be begging for funds. He'll be funding his own campaign. And then, like, he immediately resorted to begging for donations and has never stopped. It's like his most successful business venture in the entirety of his life. He's never had anything make more money than this. He never had another dollar. I mean, he ain't never had another business or another venture or any kind of anything else that's ever been more successful than this scam he's running on, like, these poor people who are probably living on fixed incomes. I mean, I guess, like, you know, the billionaire donor class of the Republican Party, like, no one's shedding a tear for these guys setting their money on fire. But alas, you know, Trump skimming off the top here, taking a significant portion of the RNC's donations. It couldn't happen at a worse time, because Nikki Haley, you know, the lady who decided at the last minute that she was actually in a campaign with Trump to run against Trump, that one, she since dropped out. She's no longer a candidate. She has more cash on hand than the RNC. It's just fucking incredible. Like, the RNC is like dirt broke, and here Trump is robbing them blind even after they're broke. It's incredible. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, dude, he is the only person in history to have ever bankrupted a casino or a political party, except he's, like, done both of those. It's bananas. You almost can't believe it's real. It's difficult to believe. But yeah, so given the fact that I don't know. Like, just if you stop and step back for a second and you consider that Republicans practically have no money and that the RNC no longer exists for all intents and purposes, and their party platform is the most unpopular legislation possible, like banning abortion and gutting Social Security. And of course, you know, given Comer's performance last week with their hostage video from the dude in prison, that's their star witness. And given that Biden's impeachment is dead, not to mention the fact that Biden has more money than any candidate ever at this point, And since the State of the Union, you know, his poll numbers keep going up, like he's leading in the polls now. Of course, you're not going to hear that anywhere or on these mainstream media outlets, because, you know, no one wants you to know that Biden is actually more popular in the fucking polls. Well, now that he's leading in the polls, they don't want to tell you that either. Trump's also underperforming in the primary polls. Like the polls are showing Trump dominating and he's still like losing tens, if not hundreds of thousands of votes to Nikki Haley. It's bananas. He's also like, I'm recording this. We're less than 24 hours from Trump's assets being seized in New York. His New York hush money criminal trial. You forgot about that, didn't you? That's going to begin in less than a month. That delay has been worked out for all intents and purposes. There's also like multiple state attorney generals investigating his 1-6 co-conspirators and their role in the fake elector plot. So we could be seeing a number of indictments in the near future. Like that train still chugging along. Still plenty of possibilities for more indictments. And if you just add that to the fact that the Republicans, they could lose their House majority before we even get to the election. You know, it's got to make you wonder. It's got to make you wonder. Like, you got to be sitting here thinking like, damn, that's crazy. Are they actually planning on getting more votes than Joe Biden in November? I would say no. And if they ain't planning on getting more votes than Joe Biden, what the fuck is they playing? What could they possibly have in store? Because they don't plan on winning this election with votes. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection.